Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Lindsay Brolaney with a quick look at your state and local news. The harvest numbers for a controversial Southeast Alaska wolf hunt are in. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game reported Wednesday that some 64 wolves were taken during a month-long hunting and trapping season that closed December 15th. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, some conservation groups argue the wolves are a distinct subspecies that warrant federal protections.
The most recent population estimate is from fall 2020. It says there's high confidence of about 386 wolves on and around Prince of Wales Island. The most recent harvest yielded 64 animals, and that's nearly the same as the year before, says State Fish and Game's Regional Wildlife Supervisor Tom Schumacher.
Speaking of, we don't set a quota these days, so you know, we just go for something that seems like a season length that will achieve a sustainable level of harvest. And I think that's certainly the case here.
But conservationists want the federal government to intervene, saying the wolves are threatened. The Center for Biological Diversity filed a petition to have Alexander Archipelago wolves listed as a distinct subspecies after a record number were trapped 2 years ago. Shea Wolf is the advocacy group's climate change director in Oakland, California.
So this season it was, 64 wolves. Last season it was 68. And the year before that it was an unprecedented 165. And the state still doesn't really have a good handle on the wolf population. What we do know is that these wolves are suffering from high levels of inbreeding, from habitat destruction, from logging. And so these high levels of trapping are a problem for them.
But the Dunleavy administration has warned that federal protections for Southeast Alaska's wolf habitat could trigger an extra layer of red tape for development across the region. Fish and Game's Tom Schumacher says past Endangered Species Act petitions have been rejected by federal wildlife managers, most recently in 2016.
We manage for sustainable harvest. And we're not managing necessarily with an eye toward the ongoing ESA process. I believe Game Management Unit 2 does not qualify, or it was found the last time to not qualify as a distinct population segment. So I think it's unlikely that the Fish and Wildlife Service would decide to list only wolves in that area.
Resident hunters have long testified that the island's wolf population is healthy, and they blame the wolf packs for preying on the island's black-tailed deer, which are an affordable source of fresh meat. In reviewing the most recent petition, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says it's found some merit that Alexander Archipelago wolves face threats. It wrote that habitat loss from clear cuts, aggressive hunting, and the impacts from climate change have only gotten worse since the last Endangered Species Act petition was filed on their behalf a decade ago. But it's not clear when the agency will rule. In the past, the review process took about 4 years. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
The family of a St. Paul Island toddler who authorities say died at the hands of his foster parents last month wants him to be buried on the Pribilof Island. As KUCB's Hope McKenney reports, the two-year-old boy's father is facing charges of murdering the boy's mother in back-to-back killings that were the first homicides on the remote island in 15 years.
Jeremy Filimonov is from the island of about 350 people. He was still mourning the death of his ex-wife when her son, Joshua John, was allegedly murdered by the family entrusted to care for him.
We're just fighting for him to come back, to be buried at home where he should be buried by his mother.
Filimonov's ex-wife, Nadezhda Lynette Rukovishnikov, was allegedly murdered in late September by her current husband. Rukovishnikov also had a daughter, Jaylene, who's in high school. Filimonov says his daughter wants her only sibling buried next to their mother in St. Paul.
Because she loved that boy, and, she was only 2 years old. And in life, they were together, and in death, they should be together, buried next to each other. That's all we want.
But Filimonov says it's been an uphill battle with the dead boy's father's family. Joshua Rukovishnikov is currently in prison awaiting trial for the murder of his son's mother. He gave power of attorney to his sister, who can now legally choose what to do. Right now, Filimonov says the father's family plans to bury the toddler in Anchorage this summer. He says hopefully that will give him and his daughter enough time to persuade them to change their minds.
We found out that we couldn't really do anything legally. So today we're pleading with the family to the other family to have the boy buried in St. Paul. And it's just a mess. I mean, it's been a real mess.
Meanwhile, Jaylene Filimonoff started a petition on change.org to bring her brother's body home. She says it would bring some closure to her and the small community. The petition has more than 3,000 signatures as of Thursday morning. A representative from the Rukovishnikov family asked for privacy and declined a request for comment. Prosecutors haven't released a motive behind the boy's death. Both foster parents accused of being responsible, Sophie Myers Melavidov and Stephen Melavidov, have been arraigned. She and her husband are currently awaiting trial, facing felony charges, including first-degree murder. Reporting in on Alaska, I'm Hope McKenney.
Fairbanks climate researchers teamed up with Juno composers to turn data into music. It's a bid to bring climate research to a new audience. Claire Strempel reports for KTOO.
This is Juno composer and middle school teacher Michael Busey's first reaction to the data he had to turn into song.
Symbols that they look like something, anyways, complicated mathematical symbols.
It's a pretty normal reaction to the codes used in climate modeling. Specifically, Busey was looking at data sets showing warming temperatures in the Bering Sea. And it's why he and fellow composers attempt to translate the ideas encoded in the numbers into the more approachable medium of music.
And to be honest, climate change is actually been just too overwhelming for me to address. It's one of those things that, and I think we all somewhat put our heads in the sand just for survival's sake.
Busey says his composition is an effort to aid what he considers some of the most important work in the world. He called it music with a purpose. But to get there, he had to call Professor Vladimir Alexeev at the International Arctic Research Center in Fairbanks for a layman's description of what was going on.
The warm water in Bering Sea makes air move differently.
Alexeev has studied climate for 30 years, and he's modeled recent warm temperatures in the Bering Sea and their effect on the rest of the world.
It's like a rock in the middle of the river. It sends ripples up and downstream.
His model shows that unusually warm water in the Bering Sea pushed a column of warm air into the jet stream. That sent warm air up north into places like Fairbanks and cold air down south, where it doesn't belong. Alexeev called it a disaster.
So I suggested, Mike, that we should probably use some dissonant sounds and music, Stravinsky kind of style would probably be a perfect way to describe it. And I think he listened.
Michael Busey wrote Babel 2.0, which was performed in Juneau last month.
And so I interpreted musically things like, for instance, the water and warming as rising melodic figures. So using very low instruments like a contrabassoon and a upright bass, playing long pieces to kind of represent the ocean, warm currents, and then having them rise in pitch. I also used flutes and clarinets and piccolo to represent the upper atmosphere and, kind of the idea of wispy winds, moving upward and again, having pitch and having melodic lines move upward. There's pieces in it where the trumpets or the horn play out a motif that's a warning signal. Something that, a sense of alarm. The strings are playing a repetitive a pizzicato, where they pluck the strings, give the sense of time running out, time moving more insistently. The image that I wanted to give was, a sense of urgency. There's more going on all at once. They're influencing each other more.
Babel 2.0 is the first in what will be a series of about 6 pieces of music. The goal is to hold concerts in Juneau and Fairbanks. But pandemic concerns have delayed the project. In Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
And that's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. I'm Lindsay Brolini.